The first stage is to get it open for our youth, for them, and for a place. The other day, Kathy and I were watching the news, and there was something on the news that caught my eye. There was an interesting report. Now, apparently there is a movie out right now that is titled Bruce Almighty. I have not seen the movie, and the fact that I'm mentioning it right now is not an endorsement. This is not a recommendation of the movie. It's simply because on this news report, they were talking about something about it, and it got our attention. See, apparently, and this is what the report, news report was saying, was apparently there's a point somewhere in that movie in which a phone number is given in which people can call God. Now, usually in movies, when they give a phone number, they always use that 555 prefix to make it look like a phone number, and yet, since there is no 555 prefix, it doesn't hurt anything. People, if they do try to call, it won't get them anywhere. Well, apparently in this movie, they've actually used a phone number, a real phone number. And this news report was interviewing this pastor whose church is that phone number. I thought that was kind of neat. And he was just talking about in this news report how busy he is. And actually, he was giving some great responses about what he tells people and what he has on his answering machine and all when people call that number. Again, I'm not bringing this up to endorse it or recommend it, but I just want you to, I want to begin by making reference to this thing because he was getting a whole lot of phone calls. And that points to something that I want us to think about today. You see, it brings up this deep need. It points to this deep need within every person. People have a desire to know if and to be able to talk to God. To know, can I talk to God? Will he talk to me? If there's a God, can I talk to him? People have a desire to call on God. Turn to Psalm 145. We have ushers that are going to walk down the aisle real quick. If you're in need of a Bible that you might study with us, just raise your hand and they will pass you a Bible. If you need to keep it, it's yours. There's no charge for it, of course. It's all yours. But for all of us, Psalm 145 is where we're at this morning. Everybody's watching me. I might as well say, I'm getting major buzzing up here. I don't know if it's with the monitors or whatever, but anything you work on, guys, that'd be great. Maybe it's not out there, so not distracted, but anyway. Kathy's saying they're not hearing it, so it's just, maybe it's in here. I don't know. Can't do much about that, can we? Lights and sound. Lights and sound. Fun thing. Psalm 145. This psalm is the last psalm attributed to David. Now, there may be others that he wrote that are not directly attributed to him, but this is the last one where it says it is his. Now, David, of course, was that shepherd boy that God took and made him into a king. He was that man that God declared of David that he was a man with a heart after God's own heart. David was that one who was no stranger to persecution, to trouble and trials. On his way to becoming a king, he was sought after by the current king in terms of the king trying to kill him. Later on, when David was a king, his own son rebelled, was out to get him. He was a man who knew great heights as well as times of great despair. He had great personal struggles and failures. But through it all, David had learned a whole lot about the Lord. And because of it, he'd learned to praise the Lord. As we come to Psalm 145, that's what this psalm is about. The psalm before us here in Psalm 145 is David extolling and praising God. But for this morning, we're going to zero in on just part of the psalm. We're going to focus on some truth about God that David declares starting in verse 17. So we're in Psalm 145. We're going to start in verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Look at verse 18. It is our focus for this morning. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. As I began this morning, I made reference to the fact that that phone number in that movie seems to just point out the fact that people have this desire to talk to God. Down deep, people have this built-in desire. People want to talk to God. And they want to know that he is near them. David here proclaims how this can occur. I've called our time together this morning, "Hello, God, it's me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the simple and yet awesome truth of what we're considering. This invitation that you're holding out to each one of us. The opportunity that we can call upon you, commune with you, know you, know your nearness. Lord, would you help us? I know, Lord, you've got us focusing on this for a purpose. There's something you want to do in this, whether it's to change us, remind us, whatever it might be, Lord, have your way in this time. So, Lord, by your Spirit now, take your word and drive it home into our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, look at verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. In all that David had gone through, he had discovered the nearness of God. He discovered the availability of God. You know, people will debate amongst themselves. They'll debate God. They will discuss God. They'll try to define God. Yet how many will just look up and call upon him in truth? People love to talk about God, but how many will talk to him in truth? God loves his creation. God loves you. That's why he sent his son. He loves this whole world. And he wants us to know him, to not walk distant, to not be strangers, but to know him. And God isn't trying to trick us. He's not trying to play games with us. This walk through life is not a hide and seek designed by God. Make sure you hear verse 18 really here. David's statement really is an invitation. It's an invitation from God. Listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 33, verses 2 and 3 says this. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So make sure you hear that text and our text this morning as this. That the Lord invites us to call upon him, that we might know him, might know his nearness to us in all we go through. That in that nearness, we might know his work in us and through us. The question is, God is calling, that's established. He's calling us to call upon him. But the question then becomes how? How do we call upon God? What does God want from you and me that we might indeed connect and know that we have connected with him? Well, that's where David adds an important truth for us this morning. Look at verse 18 again. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. So God sets before us a qualifier, if you will, a condition that when I call upon him, I'll be able to know his nearness if my calling upon him is marked by something. My perfection? No. My good looks? Hope not. But what? That I would call upon him in truth. Now that's a word that means to call upon him in sincerity. In today's language, you might say, God's saying, when you call upon me, I want you to get real. I want you to be sincere. I want this to be between me and you. When you call out to me, make it real. Because that's the only kind of relationship he wants with us. A real one. So he says, he is near to all who will call upon him in truth, all who will be sincere, all who will be real with God. Jeremiah 29:11, another passage of Scripture, is a well-known verse. Matter of fact, if you were here last week, we referred to it. It's a verse that says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So there's that awesome verse we often refer to about the fact that God thinks about you and that they're good thoughts. That is a plan for you. Not evil thoughts, good thoughts. And a plan to bring you a hope and a future. And that's an awesome promise, and we lean on it. But it gets even better because it goes on to say in the next two verses, it says, then what? Then after you realize that God has these thoughts about you, good thoughts for you, a good plan, plans to bring you a future and a hope, plans to give you peace. When you realize that, he says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So God declares that he has these good thoughts and plans for us. And that if we will but pray, he will listen. If I will call upon him, he will answer. He will listen. If we will just seek him, it says, we will find him. But we've got a part. There's something he's looking for. And he says, when you search for me with all your heart. This seeking, this calling upon him must be of the whole heart, not a half-hearted seeking, not rote prayers and ritualistic religion, but of the whole heart. The heart in Scripture, of course, does not refer to that muscle in your chest that pumps blood around. But the heart in Scripture, the reference from the word heart is used, it means the real you, the core of who you are, that seat of your emotions and decisions and all, the real you. When you say you love someone with all your heart, you don't mean I love you with that muscle, but you mean I love you with all I've got, with all of me. It's me, it's the real me. And that's what it's talking about. And he's saying, that's what I want to do business with, that's what I want you to call upon me with. The real you. I want the real you to do business with me, God is saying. Our text today tells us this calling upon him must be in truth. You see, false professions of piety, ritualistic prayer, that won't hack it. That's not the truth, the sincerity, the getting real, the whole heart that he's looking for if we're going to know this nearness of God. You can't disregard God on Saturday night doing your own thing out there in the world and then turn around and think you're calling upon him in truth on Sunday. Because by definition, my heart is me. And he's saying, I want it to be real with me, God is saying. I want it to be real and true. And if it's real on Sunday, it's going to be real on Saturday. You got to keep the pipeline between you and God clear. James 4:8, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Just draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. But James adds, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, there's that heart thing again. Draw near and God will draw near to you. He says, but for this connection to work, for there to be no static on the line, you got to have things squared away. Not that you're perfect, but you've got to resolve something. He says, don't be double-minded. And notice the correlation. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's going to be a single-mindedness, a single focus, a sincerity, a truth in our hearts. I need to approach him with that issue settled. Lord, I'm not perfect, but it's... See, that's what David was all about. David was not a perfect man, but he knew there was one God, and that was the God he had to deal with, and one God he'd answer to, and one God he loved, and one God he was going to be about. And so he'd go to God in that way. And God said, that's a heart after my heart. Not a perfect heart, but a heart that has settled that issue. And so here's that heart thing again. Now let's be very clear. God says he is near to who? It says to all. Not just, think God doesn't say I'm near to all those who have a PhD in theology or something like that. We'd be hurting. But he's near to all. All who what? Who will call upon him. How? In truth. But for all this to happen, there's a key step that's, I don't want just to be kind of understood, but I want to be clearly stated. The calling to him has to be in truth, must be of the whole heart, but the means of that calling, please, and I know the example could be taken too far, but in terms of this example of calling God, in a sense, if you're going to call on God, you got to have a phone line installed. There's only one way to get a phone line installed. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 22 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There's a whole lot there, but my point is, first and foremost, you got to get the connection going. How do you do that? Does God install this connection with him through my works? No. Hanging out with the right people? No. Going to church? No. None of those things will get the connection going. There's only one way. Open to all, but it's the way all have to take. And that is through the blood of Jesus, it says. We can enter through the blood of Jesus. And then after that, it says, now, based on that, let us draw near. Remember, we're talking about drawing near and God being near to us. Let us draw near with a true heart. See, there it is again. Not with a perfect heart, not with a super spiritual heart, but with a true heart, it says. With a sincere heart, or like our text this morning, in truth. Just a whole heart. The real me. Saying, here I am. All he wants is for us to be real with him, to be honest with him, to come in truth, in sincerity, with our whole heart. And his promise to that? He is near to all who will come that way. As I was kind of looking over this text and preparing and wrestling with it and all, I got to thinking about this thing that God says will be his response. If I will come to him as the real me, if I will just say, if I will just in truth and sincerity say, here I am, Lord. You know me inside out. Here I am. It's you and me. Let's do business. No ritualistic stuff, no formalities, God, just you and me. He says, if I will come like that, he'll be near. And I got to think about that idea of him saying he'll be near in response to that. You see, if you're here last week, we looked at Psalm 139. And Psalm 139 teaches us that God is everywhere. It tells us you can't go anywhere where he's not. He's everywhere. So what does it mean that if I call upon him, he'll near to me? A few Psalms ago, he taught me he's nowhere I can go where he's not at. So what is this nearness that he's promising if I will come in truth? Well, I believe the verses that follow it will help us understand what this nearness is. So let's look at the immediate context of our verse this morning. Let's go back to verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Notice the word all, by the way, as we go through this. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who will call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. What an interesting thing. What's God's part? Well, look at the flow here. Just back up a minute. Verse 18, he's near to all who call upon him in truth. Verse 19, he fulfills the desire of those who fear him. To fear him means to reverence him. To stand in awe and wonder of who he is. All that's in him. It says, he also will hear their cry and save them. Verse 20, and it says, the Lord preserves all who love him. See, I believe in those sentences you have a pretty good working definition of what this nearness is. What is God's part in this? What does he say? He says he fulfills our desires. He hears us. He saves us. He preserves us. That's what that nearness is. If we will come in truth, if we will come in awe and wonder, if we will come crying out to him, if we will come loving him, we will find him meeting needs, saving us, preserving us. See, that's what his nearness, that's what he's trying to say. My nearness will usher this into your life. So what do these descriptions tell us that God is looking for in us? Again, perfection? Not hardly. Our good works? What is he looking for? What do words like that tell us? He said, I'm looking for truth, sincerity. I'm looking for you to fear me. In other words, be in awe. Have a reverential attitude towards me. I'm looking for those who will cry out to me. I'm looking for those who will love me. See, what's he looking at? Comes back again. He's looking at our heart's condition. God has been calling out to man ever since the Garden of Eden. There was that cry of God when he cried out and said, Adam, where are you? Adam and Eve did what God said not to. They rebelled, they ate, and they fell. And so from the very beginning, we hear God saying, Adam, where are you? Now let me clarify something. That's not that Adam was lost physically. God wasn't there going, Adam, where are you? God was saying, where did I put that guy? I wish I could find him. Maybe he's behind the bush over there. Let me go look. That's not what it's saying. But no, it's saying Adam was lost spiritually. And the question was meant to drive home to Adam. Adam, do you see what you've done? The distance, the gap now you've created. The fellowship that's been broken because of your choice. And so that call to Adam, Adam, where are you? And so goes the call down through the ages. God continually calling out to man, Adam, my creation, the ones I've made, the ones I love, where are you? It's to wake us up. Do you see the distance, the gap, how you're going through things you're not called to? You're living separate from me. I'm calling you back. Why? That he might save us, fulfill us, preserve us. Just as these words describe. So what is a heart that is calling out in truth? One that fears him. One that loves him. What is nearness? It's that means by which we experience this fulfilling of our desires and the saving of our souls and the preserving of our lives. There are those who are going through the motions, but actually they keep God at a distance. I'm not talking about just those people out there, but those who would be considered religious, even perhaps here today. Indeed, I wonder how much of ritual and routines and formality is not actually an attempt to avoid getting real with God. See, man wants to do his thing all week long, but just tell me something I can do on Sunday to get in good with God. Let me come trot out some works or give some money or go to church and then I'll be squared away with God. But let me do my thing the rest of the week. That's not the heart. People try to escape a personal confrontation with God, and many people do it by hiding in religion. The Pharisees, boy, you look at them and they thought they were the most religious people around. They would say they pray right, tithe right, dress right, hang out with the right people, got the right CD in their car. You know, all those things. But Jesus came and said, I don't know you. You're just whitewashed tombs. Look good on the outside, but you're dead inside. I wonder how much of religion is man's attempt to somehow really prevent encountering God, being real with God daily, 24/7. And people try to find their peace in formalities. You know, if I can just trot through the routine, if I can do the ritual, certainly that puts me instead with God. I'll go to church, I'll do these various things. And if not formalities, some people hide in familiarity. What I mean is this. They'll do just those kind of things. Because, you know, you might be sitting there and say, yeah, get those people at the high church, all their liturgies and their rituals and routines. But you can hide in your contemporary Christianity mode in which you think because we go to the Mission San Diego and because we listen to right music and because we hang out with Christians who are contemporary, we think that would save us. But none of those things will save you. None of those things are the relationship, the foundation of what, that's what he's talking about here. And indeed, they become obstacles to or places to hide in actually being real with God. To deal with your heart and your thought life and all those things and just to be surrendered and yielded to the Spirit. Instead, we put on the, and any of us can fall prey to this if we don't look out. Getting in the rituals and ruts and routines that keep us feeling okay about us. But meanwhile, God sheds a tear because we are keeping him at arm's length. Get real with me, he says. Call out to me in truth, and you'll discover my nearness. And you're not, it's not like you're going to tell God. It's not like you're going to go to God and he doesn't know it already. Just as it was for Adam, so the call is for us to wake up, to make sure we're real, constantly real, heart real. Virgin, I believe, said, only a prayer from the heart reaches God's heart. That's the point of connection. That's where the phone line gets installed, right there and only there. And if you think you have a peace in formality and ritual routines, trust me, it is a pseudo-peace, and it will fail you. When that call comes from the doctor, when you're up at 3 in the middle of the night, you're going to find ritual routine won't hack it. But thank God that in the midst of all that running and hiding and pushing them away, the core truth is still there in verse 18. If you will call upon me, he says, if you will call upon me simply in truth, I will be there with you. Question, is it time for you to call upon the Lord in truth? No more churchianity. No more ritual and routine and ruts and distance. No more coasting. Is it time to get real? Is it time to, in sincerity and in truth, wholeheartedly call upon the Lord? To sincerely admit what he already knows and to keep it right there fresh with him. The Lord wants you, to call upon him. It says, to all who call upon him. Again, not call upon religion or just our way of thinking, again, our ruts, our routines, our rituals, but to call upon him. It's him, you and him. Personal. But that's the invitation to call on him in truth with your whole heart through Jesus. And that's it right there. That's the step. To be sincere, to be real, I invite you, do it today and do it every day. There's a call. There's a call to the one who has never really accepted, never really received what Christ did for you on the cross. He's asking you. He's calling you. He's pleading with you. We are begging you. We are extending this message of reconciliation. You can be reconciled to God. How? Just in sincerity. Just as you are. Not blaming, not defending, but just coming in truth and sincerity, being real and saying, God, I need you. I need to be forgiven. I need you to come in and give me life. Long ago, I decided, there were those two main questions. Is there a God? And if so, what's he like? What's he want? What's he about? I'm like you. I don't want to play church. I want to go through this life. If there's God, I want to know Him. And I want to know His plan for me. And the awesome thing is you can. I get to declare you can. But you got to shake off all that outside stuff and don't be afraid of Him and come in truth. And the invitation this morning is to do that if you've never done it. But having said that, I also now want to speak to those of you who've come to Him. Because this invitation is, if you've come, stay there. And if you've drifted off, get back there. Get back to that place where it's you and Him being real. Coming to Him continually, in truth, in sincerity, with your whole heart. Don't settle for distance with God. How sad to travel this life at a distance with God. Call to Him. Call to Him just with an open, sincere heart, just like you are, that you might experience His nearness continually. Do you need to start that? You see, you could have been coming here for years, or this could be your first time here. Still, you might be in that place where you've been settling on coming here. It's a warning sign. If I say to you, how are you doing with the Lord? And you go, well, boy, a year ago I had the best retreat. 2 years ago He and I were cooking. If I say, do you know the Lord? And you go, well, oh, my family has for generations. My dad was a pastor. Don't let those things reassure you. They should be warning bells. If you got to trot out other people or a distant or a past thing, then that's a warning. You should be able to say, He's near. He's near right now, and I know it. Not because I deserve it or earn it, because He and I are doing business. We're staying real every day. If we will call to Him in just that state of heart, we will experience His nearness continually. And that's what David found. That's what's drawing this praise out from David. That God is near. God was near to David in every single struggle, everything David went through. God was near to David in caves. God was near to David in deserts. God will be near to us in our trials. And God will be near to us in our struggles. By near, I mean He will sustain and strengthen. He will, as it says, He will hear, He will save, He will preserve, He will fulfill. Near to every one of us who will but call upon Him in truth. All God is looking for. He's not looking on that outside stuff. All God is looking for is that call from the heart where you say, hello, God, it's me. Just as I am, it's me. And what's His response? He's right there with you, hearing you, saving you, preserving you. He gives the assurance of His very presence. What you going to do today? What will be our response? Oh God, it's me. If you will do that from your heart, you will hear Him respond, hello, my child, I'm right there with you. And you can hear that continually. No wonder David responds in verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Let's stand. Worship team is going to close us in a song together. Please hear God's invitation today. Don't rest that you've come to church your whole life. Don't rest the fact that your family is Christian in its heritage or background. Don't rest in any of the outer works or any of those things. Remember the Pharisees?